Upheaval, Reckoning, Chapter 31, Unshakable Loyalty. A couple of days had passed since Hashimisa's group successfully captured Scarlet Rabbit and the Kotal Pony. They had made their way south as stealthily as possible, holing up during the day and traveling cautiously at night. Though the slaves she picked were all Pegasi, Hashimisa ordered the group to stay on the ground to avoid the aerial patrols. It didn't take long for them to notice an increase in those patrols. As a result, progress was slow. It helped that their ally, Longstride, was on a lookout and had a means to give them early warning if a patrol was coming close. By noon, the group had hunkered down in what their map called Ghastly Gorge. They found a cave close to the river and stayed there, disguising the entrance as best they could. Scarlet Rabbit continued to struggle, forcing them to keep him bound tightly and suspended from a pole for two slaves to carry. The Kotal Pony proved more manageable. Hashimisa rode her when they traveled by coiling her tail around the pony's torso, and she had yet to act up. Indeed, even after all her years of managing Hasif's pony slaves, it was a rare thing for Hashimisa to encounter such a docile, easily controlled pony. Whenever she had seen it, it was either an Ophidos-grown pony or a desperate criminal fleeing from Equestria, eager to forget a former life. As for discipline, the single initial dose of Emperor's Tears was all that was needed to impress a pain of disobedience. After that, the Kotal Pony knelt, walked, stopped, and turned on command, as if she was a properly bred slave trained since birth. If only all ponies were like this, Equestria would be a productive, well-ordered province in the span of a century. Despite the initial success, Hashimisa remained on edge. In her lifetime of service to Hasif, this would be the first time she suspected that she was in over her head. The Equestrian Legion was searching for them with a fervor that could only mean that they had taken some important ponies. She had no doubt that it would be her head crushed beneath a pony's hoof should she be captured. If she had been allowed to decide, she would have refused to do this based on their method of infiltrating Equestria alone. Too much depended on their mysterious benefactor. If this Black Rose decided to abandon them now, her group would be stranded in the middle of a nest of very angry ponies. She didn't put her master above being blinded by the prospect of recapturing Scarlet Rabbit. For all their power and influence, the Kotals were a superstitious lot. Hasif's fortunes began their decline when he lost his prize racer to a Legion raid. Gaining him back had to be the signal for their return. Hashimisa wasn't as excited by the prospect. She was the one to have to retrieve them while her master waited in his manor. She also didn't like the idea that what Black Rose could gain from this arrangement remained vague. And those were just the distant concerns. At the moment, one of the slaves, wild-eyed, had been glancing at the Kotal Pony whenever he saw Hashimisa wasn't looking.
"Wild-eyed," Hashimisa hissed. "You fancy the Kotal Pony?"
"No, not at all, mistress,"
Wild-eyed replied. His tone told Hashimisa his real answer. He was a strong pony with muscles showing under his mint-green coat. His dark green mane was cropped short, the standard cut for all pony slaves. He was a hard worker and smart enough not to trip over his own hoofs when his aphrodite superior asked him to do something. He was starting to show some wear, however.
"I wasn't asking a question," Hashimisa said.
She fingered the whip attached to her harness.
"Are you calling me a liar?"
"Certainly not, mistress," Wild-Eyed replied. "It's exactly as you say."
"This one is good," Hashimisa thought. "If that's the case, then why hold back? You might go crazy during the wait."
As expected, Wild-Eyed's face lit up, though he kept his voice cautious and respectful.
But what about, well, possible consequences?" he asked.
"We can always purge her once we get to Ophidus. Go on, relieve yourself. I'm responsible for this mission's morale, after all."
Are you sure, mistress?"
Hashimisa's hand moved to the barbed whip again. In the blink of an eye, its tip lashed at Wild-Eyed's shoulder, drawing a trickle of blood. He grunted and fell to his knees while the other Pegasi tensed. The whip was already coiled and back in its place before anyone could follow it.
"Don't second-guess me, pony," she hissed.
"A thousand pardons, mistress," Wild-Eyed said. He did not even dare to nurse his injury under her scrutiny.
Take her outside, Hashimisa said with a dismissive wave of her hand. There's a niche of rocks nearby that's hidden by bushes. Do it there and out of my sight. You know that the sight of you ponies at it is enough to ruin my meals.
Despite his wound, Wild-Eyed eagerly grabbed hold of the chain attached to the Kotal pony's collar and gave it a tug. Still dazed by a recent dose of foolscap, she stupidly stared at Hashimisa, who nodded her towards Wild-Eyed.
Does anyone else want a turn?
Hashimisa asked the remaining seven in the cave. Two of them stood up while the rest went back to what they were doing. She took note of the faces of those who stood. A minute had passed when the Kotal pony suddenly dashed back into the cave. She was breathing hard and her eyes were white with panic. Blood had splattered on her back and wings. The other ponies quickly grew alarmed, but Hashimisa merely turned towards the two who had stood up earlier.
"Drag Wild-Eyed in here," she told them.
It was past lunchtime and she had a hunger for some fresh meat. The two were soon dragging in the lifeless body of Wild-Eyed. A lone arrow had buried itself into the back of his head, with its point poking out between his eyes.
"They found us," one of the Pegasi exclaimed.
"That's not a Legion bolt," Hashimisa replied. "It's from the same weapon that brought down our prizes to begin with."
She looked towards the two from earlier.
"Do you want your turns now?"
Both ponies shrank back and went to their own parts of the cave. She looked to the Kotal pony.
"Back to your corner."
The Kotal pony did as she was told and lay her head down by a corner of the cave. None of the ponies around her gave her so much as a glance this time. Hashimisa would have chuckled if she wasn't all too aware of what her demonstration entailed. Hasif didn't care for who Black Rose was beyond a useful ally who pointed him towards his lost property. But his vibrant steward was more diligent.
"The garden where the black rose blooms is guarded by a watchful moon, a thousand-stinged wasp, a stone-tusked boar, a trickster lion, a blood-soaked nightingale, and the arrow from nowhere."
Hashimisa's ancestors were fond of mixing lyricism with their records, but it was easy to glean the truth with a little research. In Ophidus' long history with Equestria, there has been only one period of time which a black rose was mentioned, and it was one of the darkest periods Ophidus had ever gone through. It could all be just a coincidence. She believed it to be so until she saw the distance Longstride could hit his targets with precision.
Arrow from nowhere, indeed.
It could still be a coincidence, but Hashimisa was taking no chances. For 15 generations her family had served Hasif's. She was loath to be the one to break the chain, but loyalty to the Empire must come first. If she had to, she would kill this Kotal pony rather than serve the machinations of the true Black Rose. When the mint-green Pegasus started dragging her outside the cave, the Kotal pony was barely aware of what was happening. The world was a fogged-up place of dulled sounds, muted colors, and pleasant feelings. She had looked to the mistress, thinking that the snake wanted her to do something. If it meant more of this sensation, and none of the stinging pain of punishment, she would do anything. Once outside, things took a strange and horrible turn. The mint-green Pegasus shoved her against the stone face of the gorge, just by some bushes. When he grabbed her tail, a rising panic beat back the euphoria. She was just about to struggle when the arrow struck. Hot liquid splattered across the Kotal pony's back and wings as the stallion fell over. At the sight of the arrow, her mind exploded with sudden familiar sensations and memories. The feeling of cold snow under her hoofs, some pony's blood splattering on her body, the snarl of monstrous creatures, ponies being struck by bolts and, most of all, a crushing sense of failure that gripped her heart tightly. The images cut through the haze of euphoria as easily as sunlight cuts through morning fog. The cave's darkness offered no comfort when she rushed back in. The mistress merely ushered her over to a corner, then ordered the other Pegasi about. The Kotal pony huddled by herself, desperate for some more fool's cap, but all the mistress tossed her way was a rag to clean herself up. The Kotal pony did her best to reach all the difficult spots, straining her neck at some points. The blood was seeping into her coat and tainting her insides. She had to get it all off.
The surge of unwelcome thoughts worsened at the sight of the crimson rag. Hot blood splattering across her face, cold snow pelting her back. What did it mean? She looked around the cave, trying to find something to focus her thoughts on. Her eyes locked onto the red Pegasus they kept tied up by a far corner of the cave. He squirmed in place, his green eyes wild and frenzied. They had gagged him so his jaws worked relentlessly against the ropes and clothes they had stuffed between them. How long had he been like that? Days? He seethed with so much rage that it seemed to rise from him like steam. He caught her staring and she looked away on impulse.
Why?
She thought.
Why am I thinking all these things?
She clutched at her head, pressing her hoofs against her skull to try and squeeze out all the garbled thoughts, the unwanted images and, most of all, the constant feeling of failure. What had she failed at? She had done everything the mistress asked. She was even rewarded for behaving.
You still want that race?
He's nowhere near a Pegasus like you, right? You're fast, you've got your sonic rain boom, and, most importantly, you mean what you say. She pictured that same red Pegasus saying those words. They made no sense, no matter how confident and reassuring they tried to be. In fact, the red pony's face was accompanied by feelings of fear and pressure. He was smiling, but there was nothing to smile about within those eyes. That smile weighed down on her more than when the mistress rode on her, or when the other Pegasi pulled on her collar. Sonic Rainboom? What was that? She didn't have anything. She was just a lowly slave.
Rainbow, has Scarlet Rabbit challenged you to a race?
The red pony's image faded and the sight of a white unicorn's face replaced it. There was that word again. Rainbow. Wait, was that her? Unlike the previous face, this one resonated much stronger. The images flowed swiftly, a white unicorn with a neatly styled purple mane, whirling blades, a rainbow-colored dress, butterfly wings, and excessive makeup. Rainbow, the Codal Pony, tasted the word. Was that her name? It sounded like a name coming from the white unicorn.
I think it's wonderful that you're staying here again, Rainbow Dash.
Rainbow Dash. Yes, that hit the nail on the head. That was her name, not Codal Pony, like what the mistress kept using. She held onto that name as if it were a piece of driftwood in the sea of her muddled thoughts. Who was this white unicorn? Rainbow felt something different with her image, comfort instead of uncertainty.
Rainbow, you're hurt. What happened?
Let's have a sending off party. It'll be fun. We can mix it with our victory celebration.
Two different ponies entered the picture. A pink-maned yellow Pegasus and a pink earth pony. They contrasted starkly with each other, one a picture of worry and the other joyous and carefree. Both gladdened her for some reason. She felt as if she'd been ignoring these two. What had she been doing before the mistress captured her? Where were these ponies and why was she not with them?
How about we pledge to protect this new Ponyville?
The purple unicorn that just appeared hit another chart. To protect, that was what she was doing. Or, at least, that was what she was trying to do. Was that why this crushing sense of failure won't go away? Had she failed to protect something or some pony? The sight of blood filled her mind again. Blood and snow. Why was it blood and snow?
What are you waiting for? Fly!
There was another pony, an orange earth pony mare in plate and chain barding, standing alone in a field of snow and holding back the jaws of a gigantic wolf-like creature. A massive swipe on Rainbow's field vision filled with blood. This was it. This was where the sense of failure came from. Rainbow pressed her face against the cold stony ground. Maybe that was why she was here. Maybe this was punishment all along. She shouldn't have tried so hard to remember if this was the truth. She looked at the mistress in a different light. Punishment.
Rainbow?
It was the same earth pony as before, standing on the street while Rainbow looked on from above. No condemnation showed on the earth pony's face, just a genuine sense of acceptance.
Stay with us tonight.
The word struck Rainbow hard, harder than all the others. The confusion shattered at the blow. No, this wasn't punishment. No pony inflicted this on her for any reason. Not Applejack, not Twilight Sparkle, Rarity, Fluttershy, or Pinkie Pie. She saw things clearly now.
She had stupidly taken on Scarlet's offer to race, then flew over to the edge of Canterlot, where both of them got easily taken down and captured. She stared at the snake monster that had captured her. This thing was no executioner. It was just some cowardly reptile taking advantage of a bad decision. She tensed, ready to charge into the snake and fight her way out.
No.
The haze of confusion had made it so hard to think that being able to was like being able to breathe after almost drowning. She was weak from carrying the snake all night. If she charged, she would easily be repulsed and subdued. Even if she did make it out, there was still the sniper that had captured her in the first place and killed the Pegasus stallion earlier.
"What are you looking at, Kotal Pony?"
the snake monster asked.
"Do you need something?"
Rainbow Dash looked meekly away. She had broken through their hold, but they shouldn't know that. If they saw that their poison wasn't working, they'd double the dose. Better to pretend that she was just some meek little slave and look for a way to escape. If she insisted on being fierce and uncooperative, they'd tie her up like Scarlet or use more of those poisons. She had to brace herself when they used more of that stuff that caused her to forget what had happened in the first place. She was not going to be led around anymore. Night eventually settled on Equestria and everyone was on the move again. To Rainbow's fury, the snake monster coiled its tail around her torso and rode on her again. Its scales chafed against her wings and its oppressive weight bore down her back. Her still bandaged flank ached with each step.
"Put some spring into those hoofs, Kotal Pony. I intend to get us to the edges of this heartland before sunrise,"
the snake monster hissed. Rainbow grit her teeth and nodded. The moonlight was bright enough to let her see her surroundings. At once she saw an opportunity. It seemed that she had been acting so meek and obedient when they had her muddled up that they didn't pay a great deal of attention to her now. Her rider was more concerned with where they were going, while the other Pegasi were distracted with either trying to keep up or searching the distance. They must be trying to catch a glimpse of the sniper. Out here in the open, they were all sitting ducks.
"So you like my mane and tail so much, huh?" Rainbow thought.
She remembered the humiliating inspection. When no one was looking, she pulled out several strands from her tail.
"Let's see how pretty you think they are when they lead my friends right to you."
She scattered the hairs around some bushes she was passing through. All throughout the night she was going to do this, even if she had to pluck her tail bald. From his spot, Longstride watched Rainbow Dash with renewed interest. He had been wrong about this mare. She hadn't died in the first few hours. Things were also not going as badly as he expected them to be. During the last few days, Rainbow Dash had been behaving exactly as he believed she would, as a shameless pony slave without a thought in her head. Aphrodite drugs were potent substances, even for hardened legionnaires from the south, let alone for an unexposed chosen mare. Still, Longstride wrinkled his nose at how easy it was for Hashimisa to control who was supposed to be the bearer of the element of loyalty. On the third day, he was on the verge of just shooting her and report her failure to Black Rose when something strange happened. One of the slaves led her out of their hiding place for some worthless reason or another. It should have been inconsequential. He should have just let it happen and observed how she handled it. If she was strong, she would survive. If she was weak, she should die. That was why he devised his method to begin with. But Longstride hadn't just observed. The next thing he realized, the arrow was already leaving his bow. The stallion slave was dead in an instant and he was berating himself severely. He had provided his assignment with undeserved help, all but compromising the result of this test. It couldn't be helped now. There was no going back on this mission. He hoped that his mistress wouldn't be too displeased with his botching that part. However, the result had given him pause. He saw the gleam of recognition in Rainbow Dash's eyes when she saw his arrow strike. He had triggered something, and that was when he knew that his failure was serious.
"Longstride."
Longstride stiffened when Black Rose's voice came over his collar.
"Yes, mistress,"
he replied, his tone neutral.
"I felt a flash from the element of loyalty. Has something happened to Rainbow Dash?"
Longstride's lips twisted.
"Yes," he answered.
It is difficult to tell exactly what, mistress, but something has been triggered.
Black Rose's voice took on a pleasant note. Isn't it wonderful? She asked. The pony you had so little faith in is the first to show some mettle. Don't you just love it when expectations are shattered? Longstride frowned but said nothing. It was true that his expectations were shattered, but that was easy when he expected nothing. Half a minute of silence passed before Black Rose spoke again. What's wrong, Longstride? You should be happy. You can boast to the other Sons that your test proved most effective.
Loyalty is a virtue even dogs excel in, Longstride replied. But you're right, mistress. I am glad to know that one of the key figures in saving Equestria is, at least, on the same level as a dog.
Our favorite rainbow pony is finally growing on you, Black Rose said. Once she returns to her friends, you ought to apologize to her for shooting her cutie mark.
As you wish, mistress.
I assure you that, when that time comes, it won't be my wish that will motivate you. Keep up the good work, Longstride. Longstride's collar device fell silent. He let out a long, controlled exhale as Rainbow Dash's captors made their way out of the ghastly gorge. He didn't see the reason for apologizing, whether it was for shooting Rainbow Dash's cutie mark with a poisoned arrow, or forcing her to endure a small taste of what Ophidite captivity was like. This was to be expected, for on his enhanced vision he failed to see many things that his mistress did. He doubted that the rest of his fellow sons did either. Sablesteel certainly wasn't shy about pressing her doubts. Lioncourt may prance in posture, but he was just in the dark as any of them. As for the new recruit, she was no proper son until she completed her first mission. Longstride silently glided to the next perch as Rainbow Dash moved farther away. It was a difficult balance of distancing that he had to accomplish as he was also keeping track of another group of ponies. A couple of Special Operations Squad had gone in the right direction and were moving dangerously close to Rainbow Dash's captors. He had considered eliminating them but decided against it. They were the means by which Rainbow Dash might actually survive this test.
Interesting. It almost seems as if I want her to succeed.
Longstride shook his head.
No, that was asking for too much. A single flash from the element of loyalty did not mean much. It was a hopeful sign that Black Rose eagerly gambled with. That his mistress had always succeeded with her gambles should not be considered. There was a first time for everything, especially when one tempted fate.
Okay, everypony, we see a flash of the element of loyalty in this chapter. I mean, yeah, it is triggered by Longstride killing a slave, but Rainbow Dash remembers that time when Applejack defended her against the Bracurus, and that she is still feeling a great sense of failure because she still blames herself for that. And then we have that Longstride interfered at all. He berated himself for doing so. Why do you think he did that? I don't know. Certainly I do not. But I have my theories. Maybe he is not as cold as he seems. Black Rose certainly wants Rainbow Dash to succeed, that's for sure. I mean, she was upset with Longstride when he shot her cutie mark, and he even says that he ought to apologize once she gets back to her friends. And then we have those pony slaves in general. I mean, okay, they are indoctrinated, but what the hell? There's only one Ophidite and how many ponies? I mean, every creature strives for freedom as far as I remember. Okay, if they have lived all their lives in slavery and maybe don't know anything else, but still, I don't know. And Scarlet Rabbit is being, they keep him bound because he's dangerous, I suppose. Sincerely yours, Visual Pony.